Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ron, good morning. How are ya?
Good morning, Mikey. David, Duff, how are you boys doing today?
Doing all right.
We're living the dream, for God's sake. And the convention gets going tonight. How pumped up are you for this? Should be a lot of fun.
It's fun. It's always fun. It's kind of my kickoff to baseball season for me. You know, the holidays get over, and then you know it's convention time, and then you know it's like. You know, last night we had some functions with the Cubs last night and went to RPM Steak, one of Rich Melman's great spots here in town, and had dinner. Sammy was there. We had Jed Carter and obviously Tom Ricketts and Crane were there, and it was a very nice night. And, you know, did a little jersey reveal, so it kind of kicked off for some of us yesterday, and it's going to be a fun weekend. It was nice to see Sammy, too, yesterday, so, you know, big welcome back to Sammy. Yeah.
So, Coom, what was your interaction like with Sammy Sosa, and what was his interaction like with the people in the Cubs organization? Because, as you well know, it's been a while.
It's been a while, but it was very good. And Sammy and I, you know, he had a guy that was with him, Julian, who, you know, was one of the hitting guys that we had at that time. And him and I were very friendly, so we all talked. We had a great, you know, first of all, it's a big hug, and I'm happy for Sammy. I just... You know, David, when you start putting all this aside of all the past, at the end of the day, when you're a baseball player and you're not around the game for a long time and that's been your whole life, that would be difficult. I tried to think about that last night, and I just thought, my gosh, I don't know what I would do if I was not around our game on a regular basis. And, you know, and he hasn't been. So I'm happy for him to be back in the fold of Cubs baseball, and it's great that Tom and Crane, you know, kind of, you know, open that up and bringing him back. So I'm assuming it'll be good. But he was very good, we had big hugs and talking hitting and talking about being in a cage with Jeff Petlin and laughing about Sterzy and I hitting balls all over the dang place and making him pick them up, you know, and just joking around. It was just funny. It was good. It was very lighthearted, very good, and, you know, a lot of big hugs, and so I was happy for him.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that much, Ron, the fact that he was sort of outside the game, and that had to hurt. And it just seems like it took one sentence to change everything, right? It just makes you wonder, yeah. Why would that not have been sufficient earlier? Or, you know, it's just crazy that it's that things can work out that simply.
Yeah. Mike, I don't know. When it comes to that whole scenario, first of all, I wasn't here when he left. You know, I was in L.A. And so I'm really – I don't know what happened. Obviously, it wasn't good. That's for sure. But I think as time goes on, if you start, we're getting older, you're like, yeah, is it that bad? Do you remember? You know, it's just – to me, this weekend's about – turning the page and being, you know, it's like, hey, he said, he apologized. He said what he said. Tom has invited him back into his organization. So did Crane. Craig Kenny, and you know, between Tom Ricketts and Craig, I think they did a nice job. And I really am. I saw very, very happy Sammy Sosa, and I mean this. When you're around something all of your life, you mean you give everything you got to this game, and then it's gone, and you're kind of, you know, ostracized from the game, so to speak. That would be very difficult. I would have a hard time with that. I really would.
So, Coom, the convention is beginning today. It's going to be a lot of fun over 3 days at the Sheraton. I understand you're part of a couple panels, how to play third base at Wrigley and why I love analytics. Which one is going to be better? Just kidding. What are you going to be doing? No, who are you interviewing this year?
I am. I'm going to be doing some panels. I know that. I know tonight's going to be fun with the opening ceremonies. It always is. I get some family time, too, with my sister and my niece and my nephews and his girl. And so that'll be fun. But tomorrow, I think I'm doing a hitting panel, and I know Ian is involved. I'm not sure about Sammy, whether he's involved in that or not. It'd be very interesting to have Sammy on a hitting panel because, as I've told you guys in the past, there's nobody I played with that swung the bat better than Sammy. I mean, that was absolutely incredible. What he could do. And Jeff Cutland was a big reason for that, our old hitting coach in 01. So we'll talk hitting. I know Ian's a part of it. I haven't gotten over there yet to the hotel to get my packet of what I'm doing on Saturday. But I know from talking last night, the hitting panel is going to be mine, and then I'll probably do another thing and then at least one more. I love the hitting talks because it's the current hitting, as you brought up the analytics and thinking about hitting in one way, and then 25 years ago and earlier, the thought of how you hit in the middle of a lineup then. Very different, but all good.
Explain that a little bit, Ron. I mean, you're looking for different things. You were looking for home runs before as opposed to or RBI mattered before as opposed to just getting on base, that sort of thing.
I remember this conversation years ago. The first real guy that I can recall that was a bopper that thought about his on-base percentage, I think, was one of your Southside guys, a guy I played against many years, Frank Thomas. Frank was an on-base percentage guy. I mean, obviously, he was MVP and a bopper and all those things, but he was concerned about his on-base. I remember Pudge talking about hitting in the middle of the lineup in a different conversation, not talking on Frank, but because if you're hitting in the middle of the lineup, sometimes it's important for you to be swing first because that's going to help the team. You taking a walk might not be beneficial to the ball club because you're the guy. You're the guy that's expected to drive in the runs. In the current game, that was then and you know, years ago. In the current game, I don't necessarily think that's always talked about. I think it's more the opposite. I think guys are more inclined to take the walk and, you know, move the line along. So there's a big difference in some of the thought processes of the game today as opposed to years ago. So which one's right or wrong, I don't know.
The big news yesterday, the Cubs avoid arbitration with Kyle Tucker and agree to a $16.5 million deal for 2025. Just curious why you think that happened the way it did, and if it at all would be a factor when they do negotiate or talk to Kyle Tucker about a long-term deal at some point.
Well, I was shocked because that number is over the halfway point of the arbitration, right? If I remember correctly, between the two numbers that were submitted, it's I think it's $500,000 to the Tucker side, opposed to the Cubs. So for it to take longer, usually that splits in half, David. I'd say 95% of the time it splits in, you know, you split down the middle and off you go, and that's you avoid arbitration, and that's just kind of what happens, unless one number is really out of whack. So I'll say this. I'm really glad for the Cubs and for Tucker that this thing got resolved. The last thing you want is to bring a new guy into the fold and have some, you know, just a negative taste in his mouth going into the season because a simple arbitration case didn't work out. And the guy hasn't even put on Cubs uniform yet. So I thought it was important that gets done. I think some guys, it's a big deal, this arbitration thing and what happens, and other guys blow it off like no big deal. You would hate for it to be the first one, right? And then you have that held against you in contract negotiations after this guy hits 30 bombs and drives in 100 for the Cubs, you know?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Yeah, I think he's set for a huge year because this is a contract year, and I think we're going to see the best of the guy. And, you know, I mean, it kind of starts today just with him being welcomed to Chicago by the fans, and I'm sure the circus atmosphere this summer is going to appeal to him, and we'll see. But I think he could have a monster season.
I agree. We already know. There's a couple factors that I think it's important to understand. When you sign a guy like him who's already been in the World Series, who's already played in big stages, people talk around the league. Guys talk around the league about playing for the Cubs in Wrigley Field. The Yankees are another one. The Dodgers are another one. You know, there's some franchises that have some cachet. Boston, they have some cachet about playing in that ballpark, right? You talk about the park. You talk about the fans. You talk about, you know, the electricity in the park when you're playing there. He's played in big moments, so that makes him shine. And being in Wrigley Field in front of, you know, 35 to 40,000 night after night in that setting, I really do. I agree with you, Mike. I think it's going to bring the best out of Tucker, and you're going to see the very best of him. And that's just great for the Cubs.
So, Coom, Bruce reported this week that Alex Bregman, who is still on the market, might be amenable to a shorter-term deal with the right team, including some opt-outs. The Cubs are right now penciling in, Matt Shaw at third base. Does Alex Bregman make a lot of sense for you in terms of the Cubs pursuing him?
I think Bregman, to me, makes sense for any ball club that needs either a third baseman or a second baseman. He's a great player. He can hit. He hits for power. He knows how to hit ball the other way and take what the defense gives him. He's just a really good player. So if you can get him and it fits in your budget, I'm all for it. He's a good defender. He's a base runner. He does a lot of things, David, to make your team a lot better. And he's played in big moments and had big hit. I mean, he just checks all the boxes. So I'm an absolute yes. If that fits and you can bring him in, that's a huge win for the Cubs if that happens. I really believe so. And that's nothing against Shaw or anybody else. At the end of the day, you want to stockpile the best players you can.
Right.
He fits that mold. Right.
Well, we just had a chat with Shaw. It was interesting to talk to. He's a 23-year-old kid. He's so young.
Right.
It's just extraordinary how quickly he has arrived. I'm curious, have you seen much of him at third base? It's a different position for him. He did great with the U.S. team. We know he's got a good bat. What have you seen of him? And should he attend that fictional third base at Wrigley thing that David has you hosting?
He can always attend. I'll say that. Yeah. I don't have a rack of gold gloves like some of my other friends at third base, but I did play the position for a long time. I saw a guy in spring training this year who was still trying to figure out the position. Positioning on the field, I saw a guy that had some issues because he was a middle infielder guy. You know, when to crash on a ball and charge, when to lay back. And that's all common for a guy trying to move to the corner position, particular third base. Now, he's got good hands. He's got good baseball instinct, good movements. And then I talked throughout the year to some of the scouts that were watching this USA team and watching some of the stuff that was going on. And they said he was making huge strides going forward. And these are guys that I've known for a very long time. So I absolutely trust their scouting abilities. And they've been scouting a long time. So that was really good to hear. And I can tell you, just from watching him take batting practice and hit in spring and watching some film on him hitting, kid can hit. You know, he can just hit. He's going to hit no matter where he goes. He's going to be a hitter. And he's got the ability to hit the big leagues for sure.
So, Coom, the Cubs roster still incomplete. I think the Bregman possibility is enticing. But you look at that bullpen, and they may have a guy that they envision being the guy at the end of the game as a closer, or they might have the committee approach. I still think they need to go out and spend some money on a closer. Tanner Scott had 22 saves. Maybe it's him. Don't the Cubs need to maybe, even if they in the past have been reluctant to do that, consider doing that?
I, if you're asking just me, I would say yes. I know there are different thoughts. I know counts sometimes varies on some of that. I believe in my looking at the game, when you have a dominant closer or a guy that you go to in the ninth and he's your guy and he's quality, then you have an eighth inning guy that emerges that ends up doing well. And that's what Council had in Milwaukee. Boy, it really shortens the game. So that fourth and fifth starter that, you know, is like more of an 80 pitch guy, not a 100 pitch guy. And you go put it fourth with two outs. I have a tendency to want to pull him, or the fifth inning, it could be a short inning for him. It gives you that flexibility because you shorten the game on some of these other days, you know, and it just makes the game easier to play for the entire bullpen when you have a closer and you have a setup guy. But the closer to me is more important for the simple fact that when you lose games, and we saw this last year with all the games that we lost in the ninth, the deflating feel of being ahead in the ninth and going to the clubhouse 10 minutes later with a loss, that just stinks, man. I'm telling you, you talk about something that can ruin your dinner and just silence the clubhouse in a hurry. It's just, you know, those are tough to take. And when you start piling those up, man, they're tough to get over.
All right. So I want to talk baseball, but since we have you here and it's the playoff weekend, the divisional round, do you have any picks for us, Ron? And who should the Bears hire as a coach?
Wow. Jeez, my Ron Rivera thing from 3 weeks ago when we talked, that didn't get much legs. I don't know if Ron's in the full
far.
Light.
I got an interview, but didn't go very far.
Yeah, I didn't hear you guys talking about him much. So I was like, yeah, that's out. So Mr. McCaskey didn't listen to me there. There's a couple of assistants What's the one guy that's on everybody's list? The one assistant that
Ben Johnson from Detroit.
Ben Johnson. Yeah. Everybody's talking about him, right? He's like the top guy that I'm reading the Raider. Everybody's looking at him. Boy, if everybody's looking at him, I don't know if that fits for the Bears. But you know, somebody's got to have. To me, if you have a guy that can help the quarterback and make sure that you know you don't have a third hiccup at that position, because without that, you know, you just can't win in that league. That's just too important a position.
So, go ahead, finish.
No, please, no, go.
You sit.
I got nothing for you. I'm scrambling, bro.
That's okay. I'm trying to help you out there. So you sit next to a legend, the Illinois Sportscaster of the Year, Pat Hughes, and baseball lost a legend on Thursday.
Yeah.
Bob Uecker passed away at the age of 90. Just wonder, over the years, whether it was with the Twins or during your playing career or as a broadcaster, that you probably encounter him a lot. What was your relationship like, and what are your favorite memories of you?
A lot of them. David, I became friendly with Uke when I was playing for the Minnesota Twins, because the Twins had signed Paul Molitor, who was a longtime Brewer, and Paulie and I were really close. So because of that, I got to know Bob. And Uke was just one of those people, man, that when he was in the room, it was going to be funny. And you were going to laugh. You were going to have a good time. And he was just a great guy. I thought Len Casper did a great job yesterday talking about him in one of the articles I was reading, and talking and kind of capsulizing Uke. And just he had time for everybody, just a great guy. I'll tell a really quick story. The last time I saw Kirby Puckett alive, we were at a Harmon Killebrew golf tournament in Scottsdale, and Uke was playing in the tournament. We get done playing. We have a little VIP room for all the ex-players, baseball, basketball, football guys that were playing in the tournament for Harmon. Uke walks into this area, and we're all having some cocktails, and he starts into this act, and he has Kirby Puckett sitting next to me on a bar stool laughing so hard, Puck falls off his bar stool, not drunk now, just falls off his bar stool laughing in hysterics, begging Uke to stop. Begging him, Uke, please stop. He has the whole group of us. Now, you're talking about old Boston Celtics from the 60s and 70s. Everybody's crying laughing. And Uke has this straight face, just keeps talking away. And he had all of us just dying. And that is like, you know, the more people you put around Uke, and the more high profile they were, the funnier he was. And you're just like, this guy's unbelievable. But he had time for everybody, and he'll be really missed. It won't be the same going to Milwaukee without him.
Great stuff. Really appreciate your time, Ron. Great catching up with you.
See you out there this weekend.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, guys. And hopefully we get it right for football. And I think we're on the right path for Cubs baseball. That's for sure.
All righty. That's all that matters. Thank you so much. That's Ron Coomer. What a great man.
Good stuff.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.